הנה טובו מעניי, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב, הנה מה טוב, לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Real excited about our guest speaker today. Pastor Matt Johnston is a discipleship pastor. I believe it still is a title and role over at North Metro Church. And I've known Pastor Matty for a long time, and he is a blessing. I got to tell you, he is one of those pastors out there in the Christian world that gets anti-Semitism. He understands it. He fights it. He understands the situation with Israel. I've been in Israel with him and his wife before. He's somebody who gets Messianic Judaism. He started coming to Beth Hillel many, many years ago when he was a pastor, many, many years ago, just to kind of learn and receive the roots of the faith. And that has really kind of molded a lot of what he teaches out. So he's very well esteemed. Man, he's an incredible teacher, y'all, and he's so learned and just does such a great job. He's my good friend. We had lunch this week. Let's welcome Pastor Matt Johnston, everybody.
Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. I don't normally bring a giant canteen of water up with me, but this will be a visual aid later, okay? I got it. And welcome to everyone watching online. So I struggle with indecision. And every time I get the profound honor of guest teaching here, I'm always like, what do I want to talk about? What do I want to talk about? What do I want to talk about? Lord, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word. And I was going back and forth and back and forth. And even when Rabbi Kevin and I had lunch, I was throwing out all these ideas. And then I just felt impressed by the situation, by your guys' context, by the relationships I have here, by my fandom of this place, to be honest with you, my fanboyism of this place. I felt like the Lord's impressing upon me a message of encouragement. I felt like I wanted to give a little message of encouragement. And by way of doing that today, I want to talk to you about someone who excelled in encouragement. I want to talk to you about a lesser known figure in both Old and New Testament, right? Someone that a lot of people don't know about. Maybe some of you know about him. Maybe the name is familiar, but you don't like the whole story. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a man named Barnabas. Real quick show of hands. Who's heard of Barnabas in the scriptures? Okay, we're familiar. Okay. I want to talk about Barnabas, and in doing that, I want to talk about building a culture of encouragement, But I also get to leverage this opportunity selfishly to encourage you, because I feel impressed to do so. So I hope where we go today is a blessing to you and an encouragement to you. And this place has been such a blessing and encouragement to me. And Rabbi Kevin has been such a blessing and an encouragement to me. I hope to, in like a teeny tiny itty little bitty way, reciprocate just a little bit of that. And so to talk about Barnabas, we're going to have to talk about the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts in the New Testament, we learn about the Acts, actions and activities of the earliest followers of Yeshua that gathered in these things. The Greek word is ekklesia. They're gatherings. They were congregations, right? The context I serve in, people are like, they're churches. I'm like, that's like a German word. These were gatherings. They were ekklesias. These were congregations that would meet together and endeavor to faithfully follow Yeshua. And what we see in the book of Acts, just by context, is that the gospel of Yeshua as Yeshua said it would. It's proclaimed in Yerushalayim, proclaimed in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, the surrounding areas, which we will talk about today. But then eventually it was going to spread to the ends of the earth. And so this is the movement we see in the book of Acts. And we pick up in Acts chapter 4 today, and we see these congregations, these followers of Yeshua, who, I mean, they were messianic followers of Yeshua. In my context, I have to remind people of that. And so these were people gathering together, faithfully following Yeshua, and the church was, as the kids say, popping off, okay? It was growing, it was spreading. These gatherings, these congregations were growing and spreading. The gospel of Yeshua was growing and spreading, and we're introduced to many people who were part of these earliest congregations, and one of them was a guy named Barnabas. And, but it wasn't always Barnabas. See, in this time, we read about this guy that was particularly encouraging, particularly generous, and particularly kind. And his name was, ready, everyone say it? No, it was Joseph, actually. His name was Joseph. I gotcha. Gotcha. Now, so he goes by Joseph, but he has a name change, and it's a significant name change. His name is Joseph, but they're like, this guy is so generous. He's so kind. He's so encouraging. Now, we got to change his name up. We got to give him a cool new nickname, and it's Barnabas. And Barnabas is Aramaic for bar, meaning son, and Nabas or Navas means encouragement. He is the son of encouragement. Now, a name change is always very profound, very significant in the scriptures. You guys know this from Avram to Avraham. We know this all throughout, from Yaakov to Israel. You guys know this. And so this is a significant name change. And in Aramaic, saying someone is the son of something, yeah, it describes a characteristic of someone, sure. Like, encouraging is a characteristic of this guy named Joseph that we're now calling Barnabas. But it more so defined his existence. It defined him. And so there's this name change that happens. And so by analogy with the son of encouragement, or if you're named a daughter of encouragement, for me personally, if there was something that defined me, I'd be called like the son of loudness, or like the son of fast talking. Like, these things define me, right? You don't laugh at that. How dare you? So my wife's not here, so I can't get points for this, but I would say like my wife is the daughter of wisdom, all right? If you're watching online, shorty, that one was for you. That one was for you, okay? So anyway, so there's this name change, and we read about all these profound things that are happening. And let me tell you what encouragement means in Greek, because he's the son of Barnabas, of encouragement. So let me unpack in Greek the word for encouragement. And I want to focus on the verb, because paraklesis is the noun for encouragement. But to encourage, because that's what I want to focus on, like the act of encouragement, it's actually this verb. I'd love to have you guys echo it and kind of learn it and embody it. It's parakaleo. You guys try it on. Parakaleo. Watch out one more time. Parakaleo. Nice. Nice. You guys nailed it. You get full marks for that. But parakaleo means, let me visualize this for you. Para means by or with or alongside. And then kaleo comes from the verb to speak. So it literally means to kind of come alongside and speak. And the implicit in this is to speak a good word to and about a person. In fact, a lot of scholars say this was originally like a lawyer term. Like, a lawyer would be in your ear and be like, you don't have to answer that. You know, or be like, you're good, I got this. And so they were speaking a good word, like, I think you're going to get out of this. So it was this kind of, this is the, I don't know. I've never been a lawyer, nor should I be. I always want to, when I talk about lawyers, be like, I object. I hold this court in contempt. I feel like I could do the drama of a lawyer, but not the intelligence of it. So anyway, so this was the visual. And so hear it. Parakaleo, to encouragement, to come alongside someone, be with, by them, in proximity to them, presence with them, association with them. And it was to speak a good word to and about them. And it was to, and you're going to see this throughout our text today, it was to see the good, speak the good, and believe the good about a particular person. And you'll see throughout the rest of the New Testament that parakaleo to encourage. I mean, it's less about where someone has been or where they currently are. It's more about the hope you have for them in moving forward. And in encouragement, to parakaleo, to encourage, it's kind of pulling someone forward in faith through encouragement, all right? And so this is the visual. I need you to see that because you're going to hear this so many times today. And so we learned that Barnabas, Joseph, aka renamed, rebrand, Barnabas is encouraging the church. And we learn that because he's doing this, that the church, that the gatherings, these congregations are built up and encouraged, okay? These congregations are built up and encouraged. You're going to see that a lot. Now, we get to this instance, okay? So we've been zoomed in to Jerusalem, where Barnabas is. The congregation there is growing. So it's like the camera pans in Acts chapter 9, and it goes to a place, a more rural place, you know, outside, just, you know, outside of Israel. So it's, you know, we got Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, moving on further, ends of the earth. So we're tracking the movement of Acts. And we read about in Damascus, there's this guy, it's a guy that's bad news. His name is Shaul. And Shaul is, okay, most people in my context say he's persecuting Christians, right? He's persecuting Christians. Hold up. He is terrorizing these Jewish followers of Yeshua, literally hunting them down. And so Shaul, especially in Damascus, we learn that there's an intensified kind of hunting of followers of Yeshua. It's so bad that if you're walking home at night in Damascus at this time, it's almost like if you heard footsteps behind you, is that Shaul? Is that Shaul? Is that, are those his guards? Where is it? If you're meeting together as a congregation, following, worshiping Yeshua, and you hear, you're thinking, oh no, oh no, I hope that's not Shaul. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Is that him? Is that him? But we learn that a profound thing happens to Shaul. Again, just student. This rabbinic student, Shaul, has this profound encounter with Yeshua, and the scales fall from his eyes, and we learn that his life is completely changed. He becomes a proclaimer of the gospel of Yeshua. He becomes a faithful follower of Yeshua, and we learn early on, even in Acts 9, that he has an immediate and a profound impact in Damascus. Okay. So you're like, well, what does that to do with Barnabas? Check this out. So Shaul goes to Jerusalem to meet up with the Talmudim, the disciples of Yeshua. And he's like, because this is kind of the epicenter of where everything's going out from Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, further than that to the ends of the earth. This is the epicenter to where things are going out. And I want to get to know these Talmudim. And so Shaul shows up to meet these Talmudim. What do they know about Shaul? Except that if they're meeting together and they heard, they're going, uh-oh, oh no, oh no, oh no. So can you imagine the chagrin of the Talmudim, the disciples of Yeshua, when in walks, hey, Shaul. Can you imagine the terror? But there's a real gamut of emotions. And we could probably just imagine if we were in that situation, you'd first of all just be like, what are you doing? Or there'd be like that weird scenario when you go to a social gathering and you bring someone that maybe is an awkward person, and they're like, who brought that guy? And if you've never had that experience, maybe you're that guy. No, I don't know. I'm just kidding. Sorry, I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. So, and so there's this whole, and so they're in, there's absolutely unequivocally a distrust. Like, whoa. Who let him in? What, how did you even get in here? How'd you find out we're meeting here? Who snitched? Who? And there's this standoffishness of like, I'm sorry. Are we supposed to like give this guy a hug? He killed my cousin. Awkward. And so the Talmudim of Yeshua are a little standoffish. And again, this would be shocking. And so we read this in Acts chapter 9, verse 26. When Shaul arrived in Jerusalem, he made attempts to join up with the Talmudim, the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Not believing that he was truly a Talmudim, a disciple, and by context of Yeshua. And so again, they're just like, oh yeah. And even at like the most receptive, they're probably still kind of skeptical. Like, are you running a play on us? Like, is this a gag? Like, are you messing with, is he like undercover? What's going on? No, watch this. They have their minds made up about Shaul, okay? They have their minds made up. It doesn't seem like they think Shaul deserves a second chance. Well, you kill my cousin, bro, right? And they definitely don't think Shaul is good and could be a follower of Yeshua. What? What's the next line of that verse? Verse 27. But Barnabas. Everyone say, but Barnabas. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the emissaries. He described to them how Shaul had seen the Lord on the road and the Lord had spoken to him and how he had spoken boldly in the name of Yeshua. Now, there's so much here. Okay. So what happens is, now, while we do not see the word encouragement, parakaleo here, you guys saw that, parakaleo. Well, we don't see that here. Here's what we see. In the text, it literally says that Barnabas, it says he seizes Paul. You don't really see that reflected in the translation, but the verb in Greek is he seizes Paul. He literally grabs Shaul and he goes, hey, here's the thing. And he speaks well. Now, here's where you see the visualization of encouragement. Barnabas says about Shaul, he is by him and with him. He literally seizes him. He's by him and with him. There's proximity. There's presence. There's association. He speaks to him and about him. He speaks good to him and about him. Because Shaul can hear everything he's saying to the Talmudim, to the disciples. So he speaks good to him and about him. And then he's seeing the best, speaking the best, and believing the best about Shaul. He's not being skeptical. He's not being judgmental. He's not holding a grudge. And then he's less concerned about where Shaul had been and what Shaul had been doing, which was horrible. But he's hopeful about what Yeshua is going to do in the life of Shaul. And in this way, with his arm around him, close to him, he is pulling him forward in faith through parakaleo, through encouragement. And in the Talmudim, they don't have any answer for him. And you know what? Because of Shaul, who goes on to be considered a great one, a teacher, a rabbi, Rabbi Shaul, we know that these congregations of Yeshua get built up in encouragement. And so we see this amazing thing happen. Well, then Shaul takes it on the road. So Shaul and Barnabas become a team. They become a squad and they're sent on tour. Because remember, Book of Acts, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, surrounding area, Judea and Samaria, even further than that, even Damascus, out to the ends of the earth. Okay, it's ends of the earth time. Here we go. And so Shaul and Barnabas are going to be sent, and they're sent because they want them to build up and encourage these ecclesias, these congregations of followers of Yeshua. And who better to encourage them than the Son of Encouragement? Now, this is significant. Hold on to this. They bring two other people with them, Luke, who wrote one of the gospel accounts, and a young man named John Mark. Remember, John Mark, okay? So they are traveling around proclaiming the gospel of Yeshua to various congregations. And if they go to the synagogue first, you guys know that. And then they would go to usually like a city or urban center. And then they're proclaiming this news. There's incredible things happening. But then when they go to meet with these congregations, do you know what they do? Do you know what we read in the book of Acts? They come alongside them and they are by them and with them. There's proximity with these congregations. There's presence. There's association with them. They speak good to them and about them. You can read in Shaul's letters. He writes good things about these various congregations. And in this, they see the best, they speak the best, and they believe the best about these congregations. And in this, they're less concerned about where these people who are coming to Yeshua had been, and then we're hopeful about where they will go and where Yeshua will lead them. And in this way, they are pulling them forward in faith through encouragement. And what do you know? The congregations of Yeshua are built up and encouraged, mission accomplished, because of this act of parakaleo. You guys say parakaleo. So then they return, Shaul and Barnabas and Luke. But here's the thing. John Mark doesn't come back with them, because as they're traveling and touring around, John Mark's like, all right, guys, I'm a dip. As the kids say, I'm out. I'm gonna leave. All right. Bye. You guys. Good luck. and he leaves. He abandons them. So as they return, they're returning, they're checking in. Oh my gosh, you cannot believe what's happening. We see this movement of the Spirit. Oh, people are coming to Yeshua. This is amazing. And so then Shaul and Barnabas are going to get sent out on a second tour. Again, we're going ends of the earth at this point, all around the Mediterranean world. And they're getting their crew together. They're getting their squad together. And Barnabas says, hey, Shaul. I think we should bring John Mark. Now, again, did John Mark finish the trip? Was he a big contributor? Did he stay around? Was he faithful? No. So you can imagine Shaul's probably like, hard pass. I'm all set, okay? Oh, yeah, let's bring him with him. Maybe he'll just abandon us again at the first stop. But, like, I don't know. Usually I'm just waving at him as he leaves. I don't get to see his face a lot. And so you can understand why Shaul would be standoffish about this prospect. But do you know? You know what happens? Though Shaul looks at John Mark and he has his mind made up. That sounds familiar. He has his mind made up about him. He probably doesn't feel like he deserves a second chance. That seems familiar. He probably doesn't see a lot of good in him at this point, and he probably doesn't believe he can actually follow through with faithfully following Yeshua and the thing he's been called to do. We've seen that before. But Barnabas comes alongside John Mark, and he encourages him. He actually defends him. And you know what he does? By encouragement, he is by him and with him. He is in proximity with him, in presence. He is associating himself. He's like, yeah, I'm with him. I know you're mad at him, but I'm with him. He sees the best, speaks the best, and believes the best about John Mark. And this way, he's less concerned about where John Mark had been. I know you left us. I know you bailed. But he's more hopeful about where he could go and where Yeshua could lead him. And in this way, coming alongside John Mark when no one would probably come beside John Mark or make a compelling case as to why he should go, he is pulling him forward in faith through encouragement, through his parakaleo. Say parakaleo. And isn't it ironic that as Shaul's going, I got my mind made up about this guy. I don't know if he deserves a second chance. Can he actually faithfully follow Yeshua? Isn't it ironic that Shaul was on the other end of this at the beginning of his ministry with the disciples? But you see, encouragement changes the game. And I'd love to tell you that everyone dapped up and they're like, that's okay. Oh, I just messed around. All right, let's go, everybody. What we read, the description we read is that there is a sharp parting of ways. And so Rabbi Shaul goes and does his thing and does amazing things for Yeshua and John Mark and Barnabas did. But here's what we know. The last narrative account we see of Barnabas, the last note of the song of Barnabas's life that we're given in the scriptures, what's he doing? Parakaleo. Say parakaleo. He's encouraging. And so my exhortation to you today, and I'm going to visualize it for the rest of our time here. My encouragement to all of you, and what I want to do tonight, is I want all of you to leave a legacy of encouragement, to build a culture of encouragement, just like Barnabas did, the son of encouragement. So I want all of you to be sons and daughters of encouragement to one another, to others, and to the world. I think that is a very glaring, loud witness to Yeshua when we do this. And it will, I'm telling you, we have evidence in the text, it will unequivocally build up the congregations of Yeshua in encouragement, like we've seen. Now, let me also press in and say, parakaleo, encouraging one another, is part of faithfully following Yeshua. Let me demonstrate. We see all throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, these four historical narrative accounts of the life, teaching, and death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua. We see in the Gospels that Yeshua himself moves towards the Shauls and the John Marks of the world. Yeshua moved towards people that other religious people had their mind made up about who I don't think they deserve a second chance, and think they can't follow Yeshua. Yeshua moved towards those people. And you know what he did? He was by them and with them. He encouraged them. There was proximity and presence and association. In fact, that's what made a lot of the religious rulers mad. We're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You ate a meal with them? And a lot of times in Western culture, we're like, what's a meal? Meal, shmeal, what's the big deal? But I didn't mean to rhyme that, but it rhymed all the same. but it's like, but in this culture, when you had a meal, that was an association. So Yeshua came by and was with, and he spoke good to and about people that no other people believed in, or maybe even perhaps liked, or perhaps condemned and judged. And in this, he saw the best, spoke the best, and believed the best. And in this, he was, oh man, you see all the time, Yeshua was less concerned about where people had been and more hopeful about where they could go should they leave the old behind and walk in Yeshua in the new. And in this way, Yeshua was again and again and again and again and again pulling people forward in faith through encouragement, through parakaleo. Say parakaleo. And yes, 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 yes. And in my context, I always have to make sure I emphasize this, and it's a good and right thing. Yes, Yeshua taught justice and righteousness and faithfully following the Lord. And yes, there is a call to repentance. This is always a call to repentance. I love that every single Shabbat, you guys talk about return and we return to you, Lord. That's beautiful. And so, yes, of course, of course. But we see so many times where Yeshua looks straight past everything else, what I would call all the shenanigans, and he just looks at the image of the Lord and another person, this beautiful, wonderful thing created in the image and the likeness of the Creator, and he just speaks good. And again, Yeshua, and still today, which we'll talk about in like 5 seconds, Yeshua is renewing, redeeming, and restoring that image and calling people forward in faith through encouragement. And here's the thing. This is where it should hit home for us. Yeshua does the same thing with us and calls us to do the same thing. We, as followers of Yeshua, are called to move towards the Shauls of the world. We're called to move towards the John Marks of the world. We're called to move towards those people that the religious people don't like, or maybe even social outcasts. That's who we're called to move towards. And the people who society and maybe even religious people go, please, 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 please. I got my mind made up about you. A second chance? You think you get a second chance? No, come on. A follower of Yeshua? Yeah, no. We are supposed to. It is incumbent upon us. It is part of our identity to come alongside those people and be by and with them, giving our presence and proximity, associating with them, speaking good to them and about them, and in seeing the best, speaking the best, and believing the best in other people, and being less concerned about where people have been and more hopeful and more exhortative and drawing people forward, walking with Yeshua. And in this way, we will pull people forward in faith through encouragement. That is incumbent upon us. And yes, we got to teach justice and righteousness. And yes, we call people to repentance, absolutely, just like Yeshua did. But like Yeshua, we are often called to look past everything else and just see that beautiful image of the Lord created in the image and likeness of the Creator and say, hey, that is good. Hebrew word y'all know is tov. That is tov. What the Lord called tov, don't let anyone call any different. And we can be confident that as we follow Yeshua, he is renewing and redeeming and restoring that image in us daily. And so as we are encouraged by this word, and as we are called to encourage, encouragement should overflow. Parakaleo should overflow out of us. And that's why we read in 2 Corinthians 1:3-7. Watch this. This is a longer passage, but I just want to jump through it. And every time, y'all want to do something fun? Y'all want to do something fun? Okay. Okay, one person. Okay. All right. Every time you see the word encouragement, just clap. okay? And it's going to be some form of the word parakaleo, okay? 2 Corinthians 1:3, ready? Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, the Father of compassion, and God of all encouragement. He encouraged us in every trouble so that we may be able to encourage those who are in any trouble through the very encouragement, yeah, of which we ourselves are encouraged by God. If this seems repetitive, it's because it is. For just as the sufferings of Mashiach overflow into us, so also through Mashiach, our encouragement overflows. That's that word. If we are suffering hardship, it is for your encouragement and salvation. Or if we are encouraged, it is for your encouragement. One more, which produces in you the patience and endurance and the same sufferings that we also suffer. Our hope for you is firm, since we know that you are partners in our suffering, so also in our encouragement. There you go. Give it up for yourself. Give it up for yourselves. Now, obviously, a grammar teacher would be like, Shaul, you need more word variety, okay? But that Shaul's doing that on purpose. He's communicating that on purpose so we get the point of encouragement. It flows out of us as part of faithfully following Yeshua. And so here's some takeaways to be helpful so we can live this out faithfully following Yeshua. And I have three word pictures for you today. And I'd like to walk through so you guys have a visual. Don't worry, I'll explain these. These are shenanigans. All right. We're getting to this. Okay, first word picture when it comes to encouragement. I want to talk about our words. Words are like a hammer. I feel like I never look natural holding a hammer, mainly because I rarely use one. And even when I am using one, I don't look like I should be. And my in-laws actually flip houses, and I have a hammer because I help out a little bit. And I mean a very little bit, okay? And what I've learned in flipping houses is that a hammer can build something, right? You can build a structure, but a hammer can also tear down. And I've had experiences in both. My favorite day of any construction project, favorite day of the year, is demo day, right? And so I think with words, our words can build up beautifully in encouragement, but also tear down devastatingly and destructively in discouragement. And so I think we need to mind our words and purpose them for encouragement. And when we read Bereshit, when we read Genesis, I'm pretty sure the Lord spoke all things into creation. And so there is a power to words. I say words have weights, and I say words build worlds. So we need to use our words intentionally to build up, not tear down. First visual. Second visual, words, and especially in the context of encouragement, can be a lifeline. Who here has any kind of aquatic vehicle? Anybody in the room? If it's no one, I won't feel awkward. Don't worry, I don't either. Okay, well, in obtaining this, I had up a bunch of people I know who have boats. Nobody had one of these. I'm like, do you have airbags and seatbelts in your car? Like, what are you doing? But what I've found is that in life, often people are adrift a sea of discouragement. Sometimes people are drowning in depression and discouragement. And man, sometimes just a kind word, don't worry, I'm not going to throw it at you. no one needs to leave here concussed tonight. But sometimes just throwing a word of encouragement, a little bit of power kaleo, pulling up next to someone, by and with, to and about, seeing the best, speaking the best, the whole nine. Sometimes, man, that not only keeps people afloat, but that might pull someone out of their depression and discouragement. You know what I mean? That might pull someone toward Yeshua. And so view your words, especially in the context of encouragement, as a lifeline. And then lastly, this is why I brought this up here. Words are, especially words of encouragement, they are nourishment. I had to hit you guys with that Stanley flex. You know this. If I ever go missing, follow a trail of missing Stanley cups, and there you will find me. Make it like a fun scavenger hunt thing, okay? If I ever go missing, I leave Stanley cups everywhere. I think this is my fifth one, honestly. the one I had last time here, I lost that one already. There we go. But you laugh because you know it's true. But words are nourishment. And what I found is people, man, especially in pastoral ministry and rabbinic ministry, you know, people are parched. People are just there's a malaise in that. Not only have they not received parakaleo, not only have they not been encouraged, but often people are just criticized and torn down and discouraged. And maybe for some people, man, I'm just keeping it real, or as the kids say, keeping it a buck. I talk to people where they're like, I've never really received words of kindness and encouragement. People need some nourishment and refreshing. And it's clear, too many proverbs to go through that, like, words of kindness and encouragement are life and vitality to the body. And so think about your words as nourishment. And so, real quick, before I give you three exercises and we hang it up or drop the mic and walk away, I want to address kind of like to the skeptic, if you will, not a hardened skeptic, but if you're just kind of like, kind of that kind of energy of like, I don't know, he wants me to encourage people. It's so weird. I have friends I'm very close to who are like, it just always feels awkward. It's like that first dance where you're like, I can't find the beat. I don't know. You know, it's like, I don't, it's like, I promise I can dance. I just can't find it. It's just awkward, right? Or they're just like, that's not for me. I'm not a words of affirmation person, so I'm not going to do. And like, and in giving them, if I were to encourage you, I just feel awkward and I feel weird and it feels not insincere and what, and I just don't like it. I just don't really want to do it. Here's my, just gently, if I may press in. In that, there's a lot of me, my, and I. Parakaleo, to encourage someone, ain't about us. It's about faithfully following Yeshua and encouraging people. That's one. Two, however you feel about it, encouragement is objectively good for you. It's objectively healthy. All right, show of hands again. This might be none. Who here likes healthy food? Anyone or online? Hey, that's way more. That is a lot more than that. Hey, good on you. All right. But a lot of people are like, no, I'm gonna just eat chips and burgers. And I actually want to take a pizza and fold it up into a burrito and make a pizzerito. That's my jam. But however you feel about it, healthy food is objectively good for you. It's health and vitality. Likewise, who here likes to exercise? Who just loves exercising, loves it? Less hands, but we're still there. Okay, well, even if you're like, joke's on you, I'm never gonna exercise. I've never done it a day in my life. Okay, that's fine. But exercising is objectively good for you. It is objectively good for your heart, for your vitality, for your mental and emotional health. So however you feel about it, maybe with encouragement, maybe it just needs to be healthy food for you. Maybe it just needs to be exercise. Make it an exercise. That's okay. It's okay. It's good to do stuff that sometimes that's hard to do or unnatural for us. Here's one other thing. I just want to kind of gently, pastorally kind of press in just a little bit more. If you find that you're like, I cannot speak a word of encouragement to someone else. No, not going to happen. I would invite you to look into that. Investigate that. Maybe a little, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. There's something underneath that. And whether it's through rabbinic counseling or like a going to see a counselor about it, there might be something there. So if you're a skeptic towards this, let me encourage you to encourage. Now, you might be a skeptic in the room. I've run into this a lot. Actually, a surprising amount. And I know some people, I know one person in my life who talks like this. They go, well, I mean, I don't really like, okay, here's the deal, man. So if I like encourage someone, then they're going to get a big head or like an inflated ego. So why am I going to do that? Okay, first of all, who do you think you are? No, sorry. But like, I honestly, I had this person in my life, I was like, who do you think you are? The arbiter over everyone's encouragement, you know? Like, are you the guard over everyone's ego? No, you're actually not called to do that. And in fact, if that's your motivation, may I gently and kindly say, that's usurping the role of the Lord. You see throughout scripture, also read 1 and 2 Samuel, the Lord humbles and raises up. He humbles the proud, gives grace to the humble. That is all of the Lord's doing. We don't need to worry about it. We're not the arbiters or controllers of that. We don't need to sweat it. What we have been called to do as faithful followers of Yeshua is to encourage. We don't need to usurp the Lord. What's more, we need to, as followers of Yeshua, put ourselves in a congregation, in a community who can kindly call things out when we do have an inflated sense of ego or we're not humble. You shouldn't withhold encouragement for that reason. And I would say, and I found this to be true, you not only, when you withhold encouragement for those reasons, you not only usurp the role of the Lord, but you also insult the individual. So, Dara, if I was like, okay, Don't get a big head or anything, okay? Don't start thinking like, I'm her, okay? Don't start being like, oh my gosh, you never believe what Matt said to me. He did it with a hair flip, okay? But you're really gifted at music and what you do. Why was that first part necessary? Well, you know what I tacitly did? I assumed that you're arrogant. And I assume that you can't take a compliment or encouragement. And then again, I'm playing arbiter and adjudicator over your encouragement and esteem. And that's wrong. That's insulting. So might I encourage you to not do that? And I want to give you three lightning quick exercises. And this is how we'll bring it home from here. Three exercises. As we've talked about three word pictures, address the skeptic. Let's talk about three exercises. One, I want you to try a group encouragement activity. Sounds like something you would do in therapy, but like, just follow me. Little something about me, I don't think I've ever shared. So when I moved here from Missouri, I had a youth group, okay? A youth group at a church. And it was a Methodist church. And we had an older congregation, so we had not one, not two, but three students in the ministry. However, our youth group was about 40 to 50, depending on the week. Now you're going to go, I'm not great at math, but I'm better than this guy. How's that add up? We actually had a bus ministry, and I would drive this giant bus, and I drive exactly how you think I would. I would drive this giant bus around the hills, the mountains of Missouri. Ah! I'm like waving at kids because the back of the bus is like there. I'm like, hey, fishtail. And in this, because it was a bus ministry, I was bringing in students from various socioeconomic levels. They went to different schools, and there was discord because some of the kids were like, oh, you go to that school? Well, I go to this school. Oh, you live in that neighborhood? Well, I have a palatial estate. Where I'm like, your parents have a palatial estate, okay? Chill. They're rich. You're not rich. and so y'all kids know what it is. So I was like, oh, I got to do something to bring them together. So what I started doing is I started observing. And I found that a lot of times with students between each other, they would have their minds made up about other students before they really got to know them. They would, maybe they'd had beef, they'd had some relational tension, and they just didn't think they deserved a second chance. Yeah, I met them the first time, I didn't like them. And maybe they didn't think they were good. Or that they could be followers of Yeshua. And so I started this thing where we'd get in a circle every week. I forced them to do it, like healthy food and exercise. I forced them to do it. And we'd have to sit across from each other. And so if you and I were sitting across from each other, I'd have to speak something good about you, speak a word of encouragement to you. Now, it started off in sweaty, awkward, pubescent awkwardness. And the best we'd ever get is like, you're awesome. Which we'd always be like, oh, that was beautiful and moving. Oh my gosh. Oh, that was beautiful. And so I'd start telling them, hey, what you got to do is you got to be hear it. And your encouragement, you need to be observant, specific, and genuine. Observant, specific, and genuine. You can even write those down. Observant, specific, and genuine. And what I saw is the students started buying into it. And what I saw is they started to encourage one another. And whether physically sitting next to each other or by what they were saying, they would be close to, by, and with their fellow students. And they would speak good to them and about them. They would see the good, speak the good, and believe the good in other students. And they would get less concerned about where they had been or what their socioeconomic or school or whatever. And they'd be more hopeful about where they could go, faithfully following Yeshua together. And what I saw is that they would slowly pull one another forward in faith through encouragement. And then one particular Wednesday, backfired on me. And it was my birthday, and they sat me down, and they all went around and power kaleo'd me. Which leads to my second, just, I'm gonna throw this out there real quick. It led me to start a tradition that I call birthday flowers. Now, flowers is kind of like a colloquial term for like, if you give someone their flowers, it's like you give them a compliment. And so every birthday, whoever's in my family, they have to sit down, and everyone goes around and gives them a word of encouragement. Everyone power kaleos. So an exercise perhaps to employ this week is when you're in your home fellowships, take time to parakaleo one another. Next birthday that comes up, sit there like Bruce, if it was your birthday, be like, all right, Bruce, get up here, sit down, and you're just going to have to take it, man. We're all going to go around and tell you how wonderful you are, okay? With that Southern accent, Southern Brooklyn. my favorite joke you ever made. And so that would be my first exercise I want you to try. Second one, this is super simple, super short, sweet, to the point. I would encourage you, make it a point this week to send an encouraging text or hear it voicemail. Encouraging text is easy. But I have this one, but however, I have a friend who keeps every encouraging text for days when they are down, because maybe it's a lifeline that day, or it's nourishment that day. Also, I have another friend who keeps voicemails. Like if a mentor or someone significant in his life calls him, he keeps the voicemail forever. I have someone else in my life that she saves voicemails that are encouraging and kind for when that person might not be around anymore, so they can hear their voice and hear their encouragement. And so you don't know the impact that might make on someone. So this week, send a voice or send a text, send a voicemail, or just text your friend and be like, hey, I'm sending you a voicemail. Don't answer. And then leave them a nice voicemail. And if you try to leave them a voicemail and it gives you the boo-doo-doo, the voicemail you're trying to call and it's not set up, text them again and be like, get your game together with your voicemail. You know, last thing. Write a letter, old school. I'll end with this illustration. I used to go to this coffee shop. Well, I still go to coffee shops all the time. I basically live at coffee shops. And it was, I had got to know a lot of the baristas there, and it was a holiday. I didn't have any money at the time. I was an intern at a church. And so I was like, I'm going to write encouraging notes to everybody. That's what I'm going to do. That's free, thoughtful. I'm going to be specific, observant, specific, and genuine in that. And I wrote them, I wrote one for this guy named Sean. And Sean kind of struck me as the tough guy, like emotions are like, that's weak. And so I was like, oh, write him one, but I felt weird doing it. And then when I gave it to him, I was like, there you go, Sean. All right. Like, don't be so awkward when you encourage someone. Learn from me. I didn't think it mattered. Years later, I was talking to Sean, and I was just catching up, and I was like, hey, man, I heard you had a bad breakup. And he goes, yeah. He goes, you know what I did during that time, though? I've been meaning to tell you this. I found that letter you wrote me. And he said, that really helped get me through. Maybe it was a lifeline for him at the time. And so as we end today, here's what I've learned in my life. I am a man of many words. Some would say too many. But what I have purposed to do is make my words count. And I think the most beautiful thing I could do with my breath is encourage people. And probably the most wonderful thing I could do with my words is to build people up in encouragement. And it really is important to me that people don't get by me in life without feeling encouraged. And so, Congregation Beth Hillel, if I could parakaleo you for a minute, this place has been a blessing to me, to my family. Rabbi Kevin, you have been a blessing to me and to my family. And you guys are doing profound work. And as Rabbi Kevin said, yes, I get the Messianic movement, but it's more than that. I celebrate, I support, and I love it. And I know what you guys are doing. And so I would say, keep on with that. Keep on. I see the good. I want to speak the good and believe the good. And may I just, I can selfishly say this. Don't look at him. Make sure you encourage those in leadership. There's certain people in this room that are in leadership, and I'm aware. A lot of times people think people in leadership don't need encouragement because, like, they're a place. Everyone's going to be, you're amazing. Or like, I bet Kevin offers obviously an amazing teacher. You know, you're probably going to think, well, everyone's like, oh, you're amazing. Offered for many leaders outside of this place that sometimes it's lonely at the top. Make sure you encourage one another. And the person sitting next to you, across from you, whatever, you might go, they seem confident. Make sure you encourage one another. Make sure you parakaleo. That's part of faithfully following Yeshua. And so let me end tonight by reading this verse from Romans to you. And I know we are at time, but I just really want you guys to hear this. And so let us end by way of benediction. Now may the God of patience and encouragement grant you to be like-minded with one another in the manner of Messiah Yeshua, so that together with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. So may you leave a legacy of encouragement. May you build a culture of encouragement. May you be a son and a daughter of encouragement. And may you be a Barnabas. Let's pray. We come to you, Lord, in humility and contrition and gratitude. I thank you for Congregation Beth Hillel. I thank you for the wonderful work they do. Thank you that they are a hammer building up your kingdom, Yeshua. I thank you that they are a lifeline to so many people, and the over thousand watching online. And Lord, I thank you that Congregation Beth Hillel is nourishment for many. I mean, why do we Shabbat? Like, why? I mean, yeah, obedience and faithfulness, but this is nourishment for many. And so, Holy Spirit, comfort those in this room that need it, and may you call all of us into a life of parakaleo. B'Shem Yeshua, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.